Morning, everyone. I'm Paul Armstrong from HP, one of the Blade server evangelists. And we've got Anna Gabriella from Microsoft, one of the technical specialists from Microsoft. We'll be co-presenting this morning's session. I hope you've all had a good week here at TechEd. I know it's Friday, last night's Thursday, sometimes a big day. We were going to give away maybe Barocas and see how many people rushed into the session. Right, but no, hopefully you don't need that. So today we're going to be talking about our virtual system. And our virtual system is a key part of our portfolio of converged systems. And we're doing this because we're trying to address some of the key issues of deployment times and architectures that our customers are bringing to our attention. And it's all about how long things are taking to deploy in our data centers. So HP's come up with strategies of converged systems using our converged infrastructure products to simplify that. And all of our storage, servers, and networking are key components of that, as well as our software and integrating with our partner software. So has anyone been to the lab sessions here this week? Any labs? Some people, hopefully. Good. So those labs are powered on HP virtual system running Hyper-V, right? So I hope the experience has been great because it's running on these products. And so what we're going to do is we're going to actually run through that virtual system, which is what has been back-ending your labs. So to give you a bit of perspective scale of those labs, it's estimated there'll be 40,000 lab sessions and 13,000 virtual machines being run on that this week. Let me just check. It was 40,000. No, 13,000 labs with 40,000 virtual machines. So 40,000 virtual machines are getting deployed to that infrastructure this week, you know, being torn down, reprovisioned, torn down as you're doing all the labs, you're doing system center labs, building private clouds. All that workload is being done on this. So hopefully that in itself, you know, is a standing for the product, knowing that 40,000 virtual machines has been pushed onto it this week. That's a pretty big workload. That's come here as one rack of equipment to power those labs. And then we've also got that on display on our HP stand. So if you want to come down to the HP stand after this session, I'll be there as well as some of my colleagues. So we're happy to run through and talk to the products. So we'll have all of that on display. So with our virtual system, I mentioned we're trying to address some of the key deployment times. So when we go out and we talk to IT management and CIOs about their projects coming down for the pipeline for the year, it's interesting because one of the key things that's coming up is how long it takes to deploy virtualized environments. Right, and it's not just about installing a hypervisor. It's the whole cycle of this, you know, workload build-up. So when we look at, you know, from the time that it's decided we need to expand or we need to rebuild or refresh to the time it's actually ready to take workloads is just too long. You know, it shouldn't be 6 months. But when we talk to large enterprises, that's the sort of time period they're talking to. At HP, we're trying to really reduce that down from, you know, 6 months down to a real acceptable period where you're looking at around the month, just over a month. From when you come to us to when we can have something ready to put workloads on. So that's what we're doing with virtual system. And we're also trying to do it with the cloud system and app systems in other areas of business. So the app system includes other Microsoft initiatives that we're doing jointly. So HP has come with a joint venture with Microsoft to do $250 million of co-development of integrating our products, testing them, and building solutions. That includes a database consolidation appliance for people who really need to ramp up databases in a quick time manner to business intelligence appliances. There are more in that portfolio and our cloud system for building out private clouds. But we're going to focus on our virtual system today and some of the key benefits that we've put into the products that underline that to give you the performance. The performance we talk about of 40,000 virtual machines. And my clicker's just died. One sec. Okay, I think we're back in business. Excellent. All good. So with our virtual system for Hyper-V, a key part of our converged systems, what we're trying to do is adhere to a standard that you can understand how we're sizing it and build out reference architectures so you understand what we're doing. Because it's not about building a black box that you just don't understand. It's about building something that you feel comfortable putting your enterprise workloads on. And so we are adhering to the Microsoft Private Cloud Fast Track specification. So if we look at our sizings, and we've got different size virtual systems, we adhere to the specifications of numbers of memory, CPUs, oversubscription, as well as looking at parameters like average IOPS a virtual machine should be able to have. With our release of our products, we've been introducing key technologies to improve the performance of your virtual machine density. We know that rack space is expensive. We know how much that costs you, and we know it's better if you can fit more in a rack. We know that power consumption is very key in the data centers, and how much you can get out of that power. So optimizing our servers in every piece and our storage that we can to get better efficiencies is key. One of the objectives that a lot of my customers are talking about now is with IT, they're not measuring projects on, you know, cost of individual products, it's cost of service or cost of virtual machines in the data center, and trying to deliver metrics where they're looking out at public providers and saying, if I can get a VM for this, can I do it in-house for that sort of cost model? So we're trying to deliver, you know, as much density gains we can to deliver those cost efficiencies to our customers, but in their data center. HP's introduced a couple of key areas for the servers to improve performance. With our smart storage, there's a couple of pieces to smart storage to improve performance, from the SSDs that we've put into them through to adding I/O accelerators into the servers. The labs that are run here today to deploy 40,000 VMs and give you guys the experience that you expect in a lab, that high performance responsive, you know, you don't want to walk away and get a coffee and come back 20 minutes later while you're doing a lab. We do that using the HP I/O accelerators and the smart storage in the servers delivering the labs. And that's key to giving you the performance gain that you expect there. So what's an I/O accelerator? Well, an I/O accelerator is a storage block device similar to an SSD, only with a completely different architecture. It's based on a flash technology that plugs straight into the PCI Express bus of a server. So you get even lower latency than local disks, with that solid-state type performance only much higher. So with an I/O accelerator that we put in the labs here today, we're getting about 500,000 IOPS per I/O accelerator of local performance for read caching. And then everything else that doesn't get read cache off that accelerator goes through to the three-pass storage array. With those I/O accelerators, they obviously provide that performance. But one of the good things about it is it's very low power to deliver that performance. So if you look at how much power it takes to power 500,000 IOPS in a large storage array compared to in one of the accelerators in our cards, it's about 1,000 times less. It's massive power savings. But we're also introducing power savings throughout our server technology. If you come down to our rack and take a look at the back of all of the servers, there's blue power sockets. And you're going to start to see blue power sockets on all of the blade chassis that come out. They're actually intelligent power sockets that have a data feed through them. And so when we put the power feeds into PDU sockets under the tiles in your data center, we can then track how that power gets fed through all of your PDUs. Firstly, that provides a great benefit that we can actually check that two power supplies in one server aren't plugged into the same PDU feed under the floor. So you can check for redundancy. But we can also check then how much power those sockets are using so you can maximize your efficiency off those sockets. And so we can then cap to the socket's rating the rack's power consumption. And then we can share that power load between the different servers. So if one server needs more power and one needs less, that cap can be shared across the rack. Because not all servers are going to need all that power every second. So we can dynamically move the power capping around. And then what we've also done is if you have a look at the sides of the front of the servers now, there's two little silver tabs about the size of your fingers next to each other. With the new racks, we actually have a location strip service. So what happens is when you insert a server into the rack, it knows the rack it was put into, and it knows what location in the rack. Now, that's also good because you can, if someone moves a server in and out of the rack or you want to do asset inventory, you understand everything about what's in that rack. But when you're doing thermal assessments to try and understand the efficiency of the cooling in the data center, you can build out a heat map through the monitoring software without needing to tell it where everything is and trying to understand it. It will automatically populate one. So what we did with the Gen 8s to even improve it further is to improve your out-of-box experience. Because we know how difficult it is when people are building data centers now that are generally not in their office. They're shipping servers elsewhere, and you just want to power it on and be able to build it out of box in the remote centers. So we've built in a couple of key technologies to help the provisioning and the life cycle of the server, starting with the intelligent provisioning. So when you power on the server, it's got all of the tools and software and drivers you need to actually provision the hardware and configure it. And that's for the whole life cycle of the server too. And so what we've done with that then is once you boot it on, right, we've got, say if you're running Windows 2012 or you're about to deploy it, it's already enabled for 2012, so it'll have the drivers, it'll configure the settings for that operating system, inject the drivers, so when you're done, it's ready to go. What used to make monitoring difficult with servers was every server needed an agent to pull that hardware information, the health status of the hardware, into an agent so then SCOM or HP's Insight Control could then understand the health of that server. Because once we understand the health of the server, we can proactively change what we're doing in the data center to improve reliability. Now, I'll give you an example of that. If you've got a power issue in a server, we can live migrate those virtual machines off if we know that there's a power issue before it actually goes down, preventing an outage. And we've also added into that, so that intelligent provisioning and the active health and the agentless management is all built into the ILO, so it's completely agnostic to what you've loaded onto the server. So it'll monitor that health even when the server's got power but not turned on. And so even if there was an issue, throughout that problem, the hardware is still monitoring and recording that issue to capture the whole analysis for simpler troubleshooting. And it can even then log a call with HP advising of those issues that could have occurred, drastically reducing downtime within the data center. So with our Generation 8 servers, we've got a QR code. If people use QR codes, you can scan the screen and you get like a reference architecture white paper download. There's also some other white papers that you can scan from that code. So I'll just have it up there for a second while anyone's scanning it. Now we've got a couple there. They are based on what is being used here for TechEd and what we've got on display. Now our virtual system I mentioned was built up using our latest generation servers. With these latest generation of servers, we also are putting in our virtual system the latest, greatest storage to give greater VM density. To give an example of the VM density that we're talking about, 40,000 virtual machines have run on that one rack within the week. But concurrently, we are seeing customers running on this architecture around the 500 to 1,200 virtual machines per chassis, which is pretty high density, depending on the workloads that are being run. So now that people have scanned the codes, we're going to start to talk about some of the optimized infrastructure for storage we've got for Hyper-V. With our virtual systems, we know that every customer is different, but you want to leverage the same benefits. So we've got three different types of virtual systems to cater for different environments. So starting with a small VS1, our virtual system 1, scaling up to a virtual system 2 and then 3 for Hyper-V. With our virtual system 1, we base it on left-hand storage, and same with the virtual system 2. Now, the good thing about the left-hand storage, the P4000 range, is you can start really small and then scale it out as your workloads grow. Because we know that not everyone is generally going to ramp on everything day one. Or you mightn't have budget to do things day one. You incrementally want to do migrations to the technology. So with the left-hand storage, it makes a great starting point for small and growing out, because you can start at that small 4RU worth of SAN, let's say about 7 terabyte SAN, based on iSCSI, and then grow it out. And what we do is, with that, we then can start with two servers to build out that small platform. And that's really good for starting as, say, a POC. Because if, everyone's heard about Hyper-V this week, and I know everyone's, starting to get pretty excited about Hyper-V. And so when you want to start a POC, you might want to start small, do all your trials, test everything out, and then grow it. And so virtual system allows you with that VS1 to start those POCs. And the good thing about that, though, is you might think about scaling, and the complexity of scaling storage online. So the left-hand storage allows you to add more controller nodes, and just through the management console, you can just point it to the new addresses of the new nodes, and online, non-disruptively, it'll restripe all the data across the additional shelves. So you can easily, quickly grow it. Then when we start to move into our virtual system 2, where higher density is a requirement, typically going to colo data centers, and quite often also being built out for Citrix on Hyper-V deployments is our virtual system 2. And with that, we move to what we are calling a converged SAN. And it's based on our MDS and P4000 technology, where you get very high density disk shelves built straight into the blade chassis. So if you come down to our HP stand, we can show you these disk shelves. But literally, they're large drawers that pull out, and then you'll see in that small space, 35 drive magazines come in and out, all online. And so those shelves can have high density of up to around 210 terabytes for every 5RU. So very high density and gives good performance. And again, it can scale online, just adding more modules of that storage. And then we move on to our VS3 utility-based three-pass storage. And three-pass storage was designed for private cloud build-outs. 7 out of the top 10 cloud providers in America, the big cloud providers, they're all using three-pass storage within their cloud offerings, which is a pretty good testament to that product, that 7 out of the 10 will all use three-pass storage. And so three-pass storage gives greater VM density. In fact, so much greater, HP's got guarantees put in place that you'll get better VM density with 3-part. They've got a 50% guarantee. If you're migrating off your old SAN to a 3-part, you'll save 50% on what you had previously. And so that's a guarantee that's been put up. It was a guarantee that 3-part had before HP bought out 3-part, and we've continued to honour it because the product has delivered that guarantee. And I can assure you, if it wasn't going to work, HP Legal had never let us promote it. Right, so we stand by it. It's, you know, a guarantee of how much greater density that product is. Now, it's a multi-tenanted storage array, which allows you to actually carve up the array. If you've got different businesses within your company or different groups that need segregation on storage, you can actually build out multi-tenanted environments within it so that you can segregate that storage and segregate workloads. Give you an example. That could be from a service provider through carving multi-tenancy for different customers, or through IT needing to put different workloads for different parts of the business. Now, the 3-part storage has had, well, it was the first one to come to market with thin provisioning built into the array. It's done at the hardware level, not as a software implementation. And so the ASICs within the storage array actually do the thin provisioning. So when your Hyper-V is deploying data to that array, the ASICs will actually just strip out the zeros as it's coming in and not do it at the software. By doing it in the hardware, it gives really, really good performance for that thin provisioning. And that's also key to us being able to deliver the thin guarantee. To simplify the deployments of 3-part and fabric-based SANs within our blade environments, HP's now going to what we're calling a flat SAN. So we've heard of flat network designs, now we're going to flat SAN designs. To simplify SAN, to strip out costs, to make it easier to deploy and manage. So now with 3-part storage, we're allowing direct connectivity into the blade chassis, eliminating the requirement for needing SAN switches. And so this will actually allow up to 48 chassis on a current new 3-part without needing any SAN switches, which is a fairly big, you know, local storage and server, you know, resource pools for a Hyper-V pool without needing any SAN switches. So 3-part storage, I mentioned, gives greater VM density for, you know, Hyper-V virtual deployments. What we actually do with 3-part is break up the data stores or your LUNs into what we call chunklets. Chunklets is a HP 3-part terminology. That's why if you aren't familiar with 3-part, you probably haven't heard that one before. Chunklets. So a chunklet is a section of the data, and each LUN, part of the LUN, is broken up into little chunklets. And those chunklets get stored across all the resources within the array. We then allow tiering within the array, and those chunklets, depending on how hot they are, the hot chunklets can get moved into faster tiers of storage, and the not-so-hot ones can be moved into, you know, cheaper tiers of storage to keep efficiencies up in the array. But now we can actually move those hot chunklets into the Fusion IO accelerators or into SSD on the smart array controllers in the servers to give even greater performance. And so with the design of the 3-part storage arrays, the one we've got on the stand is a 2-controller configuration. They scale up to 8 controllers, which is different to many other traditional monolithic arrays. We do that because we want to give greater performance for virtualized workloads. Traditionally, customers were buying SANs for projects. You know, they were doing a large database deployment. They bought a monolithic traditional array, and then another project occurred, another array got bought. Now with storage consolidation and virtualization, when we get many, many workloads coming onto an array, all workloads become random IO to the SAN. And so having more controllers helps to manage all of the random IO that occurs within the array. And with our design, the controllers share the management of those chunklets of data to distribute the performance to give better performance. And all of those controllers will be active the whole time. With the latest design of the three PAR, the new ones we've got on display, they run the fourth generation of the hardware ASICs that we build in to do the thin provisioning and the controlling of the disks. And they actually segregate the control planes, the I/O plane within there, to give better performance for sequential and random streams of data to the array, to give greater performance and greater density. So how much performance do we talk about besides 40,000 VMs at TechEd? Well, the SPC1 IOPS test is probably a good one. Now, you can read the top 450,000 IOPS from a single array. So when this test was recently performed, there was one array that beat it, but that was actually because there were two arrays with a virtualization head in front of it. So when you talk about performance of a single array, it took out the winning spot at 450,000 IOPS. Pretty good performance. Considering that was done non-SSD, so all spindle-based disks. Pretty good performance. Fortescue Metals Group, one of the third biggest iron ore miners in country, have done a reference study. They bought a 3-PAR array running Hyper-V, and have done a case study with HP to talk about some of the benefits that 3-PAR array with HP Blade system running Hyper-V gave them. Anyone QR code scanning can scan those codes, and you'll get a copy of that reference study and some of the benefits that they actually receive from doing that. Now, I've mentioned some of the benefits that we're getting from the servers to deliver better density in virtualized environments and the storage. But networking can't be left out. It's key to our virtual system. It's key to delivering performance for you. Gartner reckons by 2014, 80% of the traffic in your data centers will be server to server, or east-west traffic. Now, it seems like a lot considering that, you know, we're all focused on the end user, but in the data center, there is so much traffic. When we look at virtualized environments, think about when you build out your big virtualized servers. You know, we're seeing lots of our Blade servers being bought with configurations up to 256 gig of RAM per blade. You think about how many VMs you're running in there, and when you do a live migration, all of that, all the data that's held in memory needs to go from that host to the next host. It all has to go through the network. And so all of that server-to-server burst traffic is increasing the east-west traffic within the data center, which is why HP is looking at flat network designs, flattening the network design to give lower latency and higher performance, because we see all of that east-west traffic increasing within the data center. And so what we do with our Blade chassis is we have our Virtual Connect network modules within them. And within Virtual Connect, we allow east-west traffic within the Blade chassis. We can actually link multiple Blade chassis together, and traffic going between hypervisor hosts won't have to leave that Virtual Connect domain, providing that low latency, high bandwidth traffic, which is key in things like live migration. And it's also key in other things like VDI environments. Several of my customers like that virtual connect domain for multi-chassis because they put their provisioning service for VDI in each one of those stacks. And so all of the provisioning that occurs never leaves that stack, giving them very, very quick provisioning times without affecting the performance of the access layer and core switches when they do mass, let's say rolling up a new image to the clients. So with our blade chassis, we enable that with Virtual Connect. And we also, with our servers, still promote rack mount servers, the flat network design. And we enable that using our IRF technology within HP networking switches. So with our core switches, we can actually bring into one framework four of the HP networking switches. And they're one single switch to manage them. They act as a single switch instance, but it allows you, let's say you've got two data centers and you want to create one big switch across them, but have two at each data center, you can actually do that with Virtual Connect. It's been popular with a couple of the unis within Australia to keep that flat network design on campus, simple to manage, yet benefiting from the low latency of east-west traffic. Now, I mentioned within the blade chassis, our Virtual Connect enabling this capability. So back in 2006, when we launched our blade chassis, just after that, we launched Virtual Connect. Now, we didn't tie in to that chassis technologies that would limit its life. To give you an example of that, we started with 1 gig Ethernet and 4 gig Ethernet when that was released. And today we're shipping 10 gig Ethernet, 8 gig fiber channel, 40 gigs in the pipeline. You can see that we haven't tied that down to technologies. And so that's enabled us to have a long chassis life while you can still upgrade the servers. And we'll still be selling that chassis through to at least 2016. And so with Virtual Connect, what we've done is we've released another new module recently to enable customers to benefit from some of the new protocols with their existing blades as well as when they're buying new blade servers. And this module is called the Flex 10 10D. Now with Virtual Connect, what we do is we use capability to provision multiple adapters to one single or two physical adapters on the server. So we can get many physical functions to cater for best practice designs. Now I'm going to show how that works with Hyper-V in a minute, but firstly, with the new module, this is to cater for some of the new protocols coming into our data center, the fiber channel over Ethernet. Now one of the big things that's delayed fiber channel over Ethernet in the data center has been the DCB support. All the people that are contributing to the ratification of that standard, working out how they're going to make multi-hop FCOE work. Now that we've finally had that standard ratification process completed, we've released this model that supports the data center bridging, the DCB protocol stacks, that include the QCN for the multi-hop. So this new module differs from some of the previous ones. If you're familiar with previous Virtual Connects, two of the uplink ports on the back were shared for cross-link ports to the module in the bay next to it. Now, that didn't affect most people because most people didn't want to use all the ports on the back for uplinks. But there were some environments where people did want more uplink ports for more flexibility, improved performance and bandwidth. With the new module, what we've done is we've actually got the four 10 gig cross-links, so it can do that east-west traffic, and they're dedicated, so that's 40 gig to the module next to it, and then the 10 ports for uplink traffic to the core and for stacking multiple chassis together. And they're all SFP plus ports, so you can put 10 gig SFPs for optic for long distance or the more economical direct attached copper cables or the 1 gig RJ45 adapters. So there's plenty of flexibility depending on what network you've got at the moment. To give an example, most customers I see in Australia upgrade the edge where their blade chassis are to 10 gig before they've done the upgrades to their core. And by having this, it allows all the servers to still communicate 10 gig, even if the core and the access layers haven't been upgraded. But giving you the flexibility that once you have done the upgrade, you can easily then benefit from all of the 10 gig ports because it supports both speeds. So I mentioned the flexibility of the module allowing to carve up into multiple functions. So typically most of our blade servers come with two 10 gig adapters. But when we look at Hyper-V recommendations for deployment, or maybe if you're doing an SQL deployment, you want more than two adapters. All right, most people do. And so what we can do with Virtual Connect is through our second and first modules, there might be one 10 gig port off each one, but we can actually carve it up into multiple functions. In this example here, you can see there's two iSCSI ports connected to the Hyper-V switch off those adapters, plus a management ports and guest network ports. And so off just the two 10 gig adapters, we can break them up into multiple functions to cater for that. And depending on the model of Virtual Connect, that can include either a fiber channel function, a fiber channel over Ethernet functions, iSCSI, as well as Ethernet, giving plenty of flexibility depending on what you're deploying today, as well as what you could be deploying tomorrow. I've got another QR code for people scanning. HP Networking and Virtual Connect, great white papers on how to deploy it and about the east-west traffic and benefits of flat network design. Now, we've talked about three of the key pillars that make up the virtual system that's being used here this week that we promote. But it wouldn't be a solution without integration into System Center. And so what we're going to do now is I'm going to hand over to Anna Gabriella from Microsoft, who's going to talk about some of the key things that HP's been doing in integrating both of our solutions to come up with, you know, one effective solution for our customers. So I'll like to hand over. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. So to start, how many of you are familiar with System Center? How many of you are using it? Cool. So you know some of the features that we are going to talk about it today. So to start, System Center. System Center is a suite of tools, a suite of solutions that are going to help you to manage your data center environments and at the same time enables you to create a cloud in your terms. And basically, it's composed by some components. I'm going to talk to you briefly on each one of them. To start, we have System Center Service Manager. Service Manager is the one that is going to have the CMDB database and at the same time is going to help you with your IT process, the service management, and of course also with the self-service provisioning. We also have Virtual Machine Manager. Virtual Machine Manager is what we call the heart of the data center, because with this one, you are able to manage the fabric resources, but at the same time, enables you to manage multiple hypervisors. So imagine that with this one, you will have a single pane of glass to manage your VMware environments, your Hyper-V environments, and your Citrix environments. In a case, let's say, of any kind of migration that you want to do or any kind of coexistence that you want to create, with VMM, you are able to do that. Moving on, Configurations Manager. Configurations Manager will help you to manage your endpoints, will help you to do the software updates, and it will help you, of course, to manage your security, the security of your devices. Operations Manager is all about monitoring. So it will help you to monitor the heterogeneous environments that you have in your data centers. Data Protection Manager is all about backup and disaster recovery. And the last one that is my favorite, Orchestrator. Orchestrator will help you to create the integration across the different vendors that you have today. It will help you to create the orchestration in the way that you want that to interact. And it will help you to do the automation. Just think about any process that you are running today in your in your systems, in your data centers. And if you want, and if you need the automation, Orchestrator is the one that will help you to enable that. So when we are working with Inside Control, what we are going to do is to install a set of extensions that are going to help you to manage your physical environments, your virtual environments, the storage, the network resources, the software resources. For HP, all of that directly from System Center. And the integration will be particularly with these components: Ops Manager, Configurations Manager, Orchestrator, and Virtual Machine Manager. To tell you a little bit about that briefly, let's think about Configurations Manager. With Configurations Manager, you will have a way to integrate with Insights Control in two ways. This will be with the operating system deployment and with the inventory tool. Both of them for the two versions of System Center available today, that is 2007 and 2012. And you will also have a way to work with the HP ProLiant Updates catalog. Talking a little bit more on the operating system deployment, what you have here is a way to deploy easily from the bare metal your ProLiant servers or your blade enclosures. So basically what you have here is a way to work from the boot system where the Windows process, when you are installing that, will do that in an automated way because it will bring you a wizard, and with this wizard, it will help you to create the task sequence. So basically, it will be about the boot process, the ILO configuration, how do you want to do that, the smart array configuration, the storage configuration, and the operating system deployment, and the way to apply the drivers at the end. All of this with the integration that we have for Configurations Manager. The next one, really important too, would be the inventory tool. So basically, Configurations Manager will allow you to create the inventory. And when you install Inside Control, it will run as part of the collection that Configurations Manager is doing. You will have a way with the Resource Explorer that you have with Configurations Manager, you will have a way to see detailed and particular information for your HP systems. So basically, it will be just about running the Resource Explorer, and from there, you will see that detailed information for that particular system that you want to have. Very important is that this one integrates with SQL Server. So basically, it's using the database that SQL Server brings for Configurations Manager. All of the information will be available there. So if you need to run customized reports, or if you need to create a particular report for compliance purposes or for troubleshooting, you will have a way to do that from here, from Configurations Manager. The last one for Config Manager would be the Updates Catalog. So this is the one that will help you to maintain your systems up to date, the firmware, and of course the drivers too. This will use the service pack for ProLiant, and basically it will show you all of the bundles available for you. You will go and pick the one that you need to deploy, and you will be able to deploy that to a particular system or to a group of servers in the way that you need to. Moving on, and talk about the integration with Configurations Manager, System Center, Operations Manager. So for Operations Manager, we have a way to monitor all of your data center resources from the network layer all the way up to the application layer. And when we install Inside Control, we will install a set of management packs that will help you to visualize all of your HP resources from this single tool. Basically, you will see a master folder for the HP resources that you have, and from there, you will have underneath all of the subsystems for your HP resources that you have and that you want to administer. Let's see if we highlight something like what we are seeing here, the Windows Server state. Basically, you will have an overview for the state for all of your Windows servers. And if you pick one in particular, you will have the detailed information for that particular system. The good thing, too, is that this is context sensitive. So on the right side of the pane, under task, you will have a way to launch directly the ILO configuration page for that particular system or the HP management page for that system. With this set of management packs, you will be able to monitor your Windows devices, Linux devices, VMware devices, Blade enclosures, ProLiant servers, all of that for just using the same tool. When we're talking about monitoring, yes. It's coming from the integration with Insight Control. So basically, it's the view that Insight Control is bringing to System Center. Okay so I was mentioning about the alerting that is a very important part when we are talking about monitoring. So you will be able to receive the alerts. But at the same time, for each one of the management packs, you will have a view of the active alerts for that particular system. But not just to see what's happening for that system. You will also be able to have the knowledge associated in order to resolve that particular problem. Something important, too, is that you will have the diagram view. And the diagram view will be the graphic view for the system that you are monitoring at that time. And you will have detailed information. You are going to be drilling down in that particular system. And it will show you information like what's inside the enclosure, for example, or what's about the power subsystem. So you will have a detailed information in a graphic way for that particular one. But let's say in the case of a storage, for example, if that storage is interconnected in a cluster environment, you will have a way to see that particular storage and to which servers this one is interconnected, all of that in a graphic way. It also comes with something that's called a device monitor console. So basically, what you have here is something like a proxy that will help you to connect with non-Windows environments. Once that you have this, you will see all of the instances available, the devices that are available for that particular instance, and the tasks associated for that. That would be like to add more resources, to add more Linux or VMware resources, or let's say if you want to integrate with the LDAP that now it's supporting, that will help you too in order for the authentication process. Moving on, this is the last one about the integration. Virtual Machine Manager. Virtual Machine Manager will help you to interact in three different ways with Insights Control. The first one would be the HP Pro Management Pack. The second one would be the Virtual Machine Manager 2012 Integration Kit. And the last one would be the HP ProLiant Updates Catalog. When we talk about the HP Pro Management Pack, we saw a little bit of this when Paul was talking about this. This is about being proactive. This is about doing the pre-failure. So basically, if something's happening, if something can be happening at some point, the system will tell you in a proactive way, and it will suggest you with something that's called pro-tips, and it will notify you, okay, this is wrong, we need to move the virtual machines from this server to the other. You can do that in an automated way, or you can do that in a manual way. It comes to you. But basically, it will tell you before the failure occurs. And, well, this is the integration that you will have with Virtual Machine Manager. The next one would be the integration kit. And this will help you with the deployment for the vRMRL servers. Virtual Machine Manager allows you to vRMRL to Hyper-V deployments. So basically, when we have the integration with HP Pack, what you will have in here is a way to simply, with that simple wizard, follow the process and have your resource completely installed, as easy as that, just to follow the wizard. Because it will give you all of the information that you need to deploy that system. Basically, you will see all of the drivers that you would need in order to deploy that server. The last one would be the HP ProLiant Updates Catalog. So basically, it will be the same as we mentioned before for Configurations Manager. You will have a way to have your systems up to date on firmware and on the drivers. It will use the service pack for ProLiant 2. And in this one, the good thing is that you will have a way to create a baseline. So basically, with the baseline, you will say, I need my servers up to date. and with no disruption, your service will be up to date all the time, because automatically it will move all of your VM resources from one server to the other. So basically, it will be in charge of the update, and you will don't notice what that's happening. Okay, that was the last one. So this is another code for you, and you will have the information for Insights controlling that.
Thanks, Anna. We've actually got a virtual system in our office at HP in Sydney, and we do demos of it to show, you know, the whole stack, including the integration of System Center. So anyone who's actually based in Sydney, you can come to our office. We can actually show it, demo it, whether it's us or some of our partners come in and actually do the demos of virtual system off the one we've got. As well as in other states, they can log on and access it to do demos. And it's pretty good to see the integration that System Center has, so that where your admins are already managing the server, like all the operating systems, they can do the hardware as well and the firmware and keep in that same set of tools. Now, yeah, it does feed off Insight Control and use some of that capability, but you're doing it all through one console. And that's what we like. And one of the things I really liked watching, one of the demos of recently, was the firmware updates and watching a firmware update of a server happen through System Center. And so it migrates does the live migration of all the VMs, shuts it down, does the firmware update, brings it back online, and the VMs then get migrated back. And a nice, impressive demo to see it all occurring from System Center. So that's some of the demos that we do on it within our facility. So the first thing I always get when people see the integration is, how much does it actually cost? Is it going to cost extra? Is it going to cost me more? Well, if you already have Insight Control licenses, just go to the page and download it, because you can. You're free to use it if you've got Insight Control. It's part of the license. It's added capability as part of that joint funding R&D effort that HP and Microsoft did together. That was one of the things that came out of it, and we include it for use with Insight Control. So with our virtual system, I mentioned before that that's what's powering the labs. Our virtual system gives a great integrated way of actually deploying infrastructure for moving into virtualized workloads and upgrading platforms. Now, one of the key things about buying a virtual system is how much quicker it is from when you buy to when you actually can use it. We do this through using our Factory Express service. And what they do is they actually come into your environment and work through a process to figure out all of the requirements with you, and then they actually build it in the factory custom to order. That provides many benefits for you, because when we do a service at the factory to rack, stack, install, and integrate, compared to when consultative processes occur on site, typically it costs half as much. That's a pretty good saving, straight off the bat. Now, the good thing is when it occurs there, they actually do testing beyond normal manufacturing testing. So once the software is loaded, they actually do a baseline platform testing to ensure that everything is working. And that all occurs within the factory. Now, with our virtual system for Hyper-V, there are some processes that occur on site. Typically, it's a five-day on-site engagement from when the rack arrives to when migration of workloads is being done onto a virtual system. It's that much quicker to have it stood up and running. Now, I said it comes pre-assembled. Typically, without Factory Express, people are familiar with, depending on how you buy it, a whole bunch of boxes of equipment. I've been to this facility. It's pretty amazing to see how many racks of equipment are being assembled. It's like going to Bunnings, only on a massive scale compared to a warehouse there, just with rows of racks being assembled with servers. And the output of that is, instead of a whole bunch of things arriving and having to be assembled on site, plugged in, that's what they do all day, is assemble racks so it comes on site ready just to wheel in the door and start migrating workloads onto, saving time, you know, worrying about how parts will, you know, if you're missing a part, what if I order the wrong cable lengths or pick the wrong cable lengths, we have to rebuy things. It comes as a whole solution ready to go. Now, with our virtual system for Hyper-V, I've mentioned it is built on all of our best-of-breed building blocks from our service, storage, and networking, and with our integration into Hyper-V to provide one seamless experience of buying effectively a virtualization-like appliance, only it's not an appliance. And it makes a great starting point because you can buy them in different sizes, and then they just scale out as you want to migrate more and more workloads onto a virtual system. They come in a VS1, 2, and 3, all built on HP ProLiant servers running Hyper-V. Recently introduced into the portfolio for Hyper-V was the 3-PAR-based array, now with all of the integration into System Center as well. Now, depending on the maturity step of IT and where you're at, depends on what deployments are occurring, and we want to enable customers to go down the journey of maturity at their pace, but help them as best as we can. And so a virtual system is a great building block platform for either virtualization or then layering on top the System Center orchestration for building a Microsoft private cloud or using HP Cloud System to enable that private cloud capability. And so with our virtual systems, our VS2 and VS3 can be easily upgraded into a private cloud, giving all the private cloud capabilities with physical and virtual resources, and not just restricting you to getting that private cloud capability on virtual resources. Because we know that customers have mixed environments. We know that you want to have some maybe physical servers. You know, the end goal can always be, you know, I want to be 100% virtualized, but there's some realistic parts of that where it, you know, can't occur yet. And so with the VS2 and VS3, we can enable that full capability. And a VS1 can still be managed by a cloud system, but some of the provisioning orchestration pieces can't occur without the virtual connect we've got in Blades. I've got a QR code for the implementing Microsoft Private Cloud virtual system for Hyper-V, a complete reference architecture. So if you're not buying virtual system as a full appliance, you can actually see our reference designs of how we size it. I've showed the template for Fast Track of how we base a VM, so you can then see the sizing deployments and architecture that we back that on. With the joint ventureship with Microsoft that we've got a couple of joint reference studies where we've ramped up virtual systems for Hyper-V. And these customers are reference customers for HP for Hyper-V on virtual system. And it's good that we've got joint ventureship. It shows that the companies not just co-develop, they co-test, but we actually come to market with products and solutions for our customers together. Now, I'd like to thank everyone for coming to this session today. Certainly, please come down to the HP stand. We've got some free gifts at the stand, so on the way out, if you pick up one of these and go to the HP stand, there are free gifts for everyone who has one of these up to 200, I think it was. So please grab one on your way out and you'll be entitled to the free gift. We've also got all of the key building blocks for the virtual system on the stand there as well as the lab. So at our stand, we can show you the products. We also have the if you tweet, you can get a ride in a helicopter. Unfortunately, I'm not eligible because I'm a speaker. But by all means, if you guys tweet what you want to ride in the helicopter, maybe you get a free ride. It looked like it was fun for those eligible. We've got the mouse you can win for feedbacks for sessions. So please ensure that you provide feedback. It helps us for quality. So that's available. And I'd like to thank everyone for coming and thank Anna for being a co-presenter with me today. Thank you for coming. And we also do have a couple of shirt giveaways now as well. Now,
actually, I want to give one of the... these were very requested on our stand, right? So I will give this to the person who mentions two of the components that with the integration with System Center. If you just name two, I will give you one of the shirts. Raise your hand, please. So? And another one? Just two. Perfect. We have two more. I mean, we are missing two of the other components. So to the person who mentions that, thank you. Okay, perfect. Thank you. Thank you, guys. We have a bunch of t-shirts here if you want to come.
Yes. Now, we're open now to take questions, commentary, anything, right? Open forum, so by all means. Yeah.
Does that somehow relate to the
Urban Control
Quality Manager?
As part of our roadmap with Insight Control, we're going to be over the longer term phasing out Version Control Repository Manager and leveraging all of the full capabilities of Smart Update Manager. Smart Update Manager is getting more and more and more powerful each version, and by the next release version, it'll do basically the whole portfolio of the servers. Right now, it misses out on the Virtual Connect piece, so next version will do that, and then that'll have every bit of the capability. Yeah, look, it'd be great if they came up with a virtual system for all of our storage. But Worldwide made some strategic decisions that they would stick with the left-hand range and with the 3PAR range. The 3PAR and the left-hands have a very, very good ability to just continue to scale them beyond what we can with the EVA, which makes them somewhat better in that type of environment because you can keep scaling them out. The left-hand team and the 3PAR team have excellent ability to ramp on support for new things that Microsoft introduces into their operating system. They're very quick at getting that on board. So anyone who saw my session yesterday or has been to some of the Microsoft sessions and you hear about like ODX support, for the unmap to recover all that freed up space and the offload data transfers. So that's been straight away ramped into the 3PAR and shortly in the left hand. And so those teams, because they come so quickly to market with those products, it makes them good to fit straight into these solutions. But we still have full support in System Center and all of our integration for EVAs. We've got a lot of customers in Australia that run them. And for those solutions, we generally just do customized, sit with you, work out the solution, and can help you with that.
Does the Gen 8 Blade work quicker than the G7? The G7 takes about 12 minutes to
reboot. So it depends what model of server you've got. One of the big bugbears with boot times of servers is the period of blank screen, right? You turn it on and the Intel CPUs are doing some initialization, setting up the QPI channels between them, and then it does some memory initializations. It writes zeros across the whole memory, so the more memory you put in the server, the longer it took to post, and post without anything on the screen. What we did with our Generation 8 servers, because the ILO processor has the video controller in it, the ILO processor actually outputs video pre the CPU initialization and during, so you can actually see the steps and see the memory initialization, the CPU initialization, a couple of the other subsystems, so you know what's going on. yeah, they do boot a little quicker, but being able to know what's going on the whole time makes a big difference. 12 minutes seems a very long time to me, but that might include OS setup and getting ready to where you log in. But it just depends how much memory you've got, because some of our servers do scale up to 2 and 4 terabytes of memory, which is a lot of memory to set up in that first initial boot. No, because Sum is the engine behind the integration with System Center.
Okay, so it's the
same. Yeah, it runs in the background, and so through an API, System Center can then make calls to Sum to perform those actions. Yeah, so Sum is our continue-on product for complete firmware and driver management, but we integrate that through APIs into other tools. Or you can just use it itself. But moving forward, especially the direction that we see when I talk with customers, most people are trying to now move to the stage of doing it all through System Center or other management consoles, just simplifying how they want to do management there. Well, if there's no more questions, I'd like to thank everyone for coming. And I'll be down at the stand as well as some of my colleagues, so by all means come and say hello. Any questions, we can show you the products as well.
I'll be on the stand as well, so thank you. Any questions, we'll be there. Have some t-shirts.